Hello, ladies. It's okay to say hello. I am so thankful to be here. As I told Debbie, my heart has already been refreshed in amazing ways. So before I begin, I want to open in prayer. Precious Father, you are a wonderful Savior. You are exceedingly good. Lord, your ways are so high and so mighty, and yet, Father, we have the privilege to come into your presence. Lord, we want to magnify you, to extol you, to exalt you. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Father, as we come, I recognize that apart from you, absolutely nothing will happen. Lord, everything that happens will be all of God, all of his grace. Our desire is solely for your glory. Lord, I declare my dependence upon you. I cannot do anything without you. So, Lord, I pray, and I know, because you are faithful and you are great and you are good, that you are going to do a great work in the lives of every heart. So, Father, we commit this time to you. Lord, I pray that you would inflame our souls with a passion for Christ. Lord, I pray that you would expose anything and everything that offends your holiness. Father, examine us, as the psalmist said. Search us, try us, know our thoughts. Father, lead us in the way everlasting. Father, incline our hearts to your testimonies and not unto covetousness. Lord, we look to you. We pray your Holy Spirit would move freely. We pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. Father, I pray that these women would taste and see that you are so good. Father, whatever struggles, whatever problems they are having, Lord, you are exceedingly, infinitely above all that we could ask or think. There is nothing too hard for you. And so, Father, we come to you, and I pray specifically that these ladies would see Christ. It's not about the speakers. It's not about the people as much as it is about glorifying you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would accomplish your purpose and your will. I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this wonderful privilege. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isaiah 57, 15. I walk around a lot, ladies, and I'm actually going to run down and get my water here because my throat's a little dry. Excuse me. Isaiah 57, 15 says these words, and I want you to ponder these. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. We're asking God for revival. We're asking God to do a work here, which he delights to do. But we want to know, Lord, what is the protocol, or what is necessary for revival? And his word says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What does that mean? Well, first of all, ladies, we need to understand who our awesome God is. If you would ask me what this message is about, are you going to walk in pride or are you going to walk the path of humility? The prerequisite for revival is to understand God is an awesome, great, mighty, and holy God. And ladies, we need to understand He is God. And we are His created beings. And we exist solely for His pleasure and for His glory. One of my students the other day asked me, and this is a private school in a more public setting, and I've never usually taught in that setting. I've always been from a Christian, taught in a Christian perspective. But the Lord planted me here at this international boarding school. And one of the students right in class said, "Mrs. Trahan, what is the meaning of life?" Well, wow. Right in class, she asked, and I says, "To know the Lord, to make Him known, to love Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart." I don't think the students were expecting that, you know, in a public school setting. But ladies, the scripture is teaching us here, "Thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." In other words, ladies, God alone is worthy of all praise, of all honor, of all glory. So the first thing is I look and I said, "Lord, show me, expose me, and reveal." And God was bringing me to so many scriptures. In Psalm 34, it says these words, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." In Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Isaiah 66 says this, God says, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. All these things mine hand hath made, but to this one will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembleth at my word." Now, ladies, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you trembled at the amazing power of God's word? When is the last time we understood it as our Lord said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," that we understand our utter spiritual bankruptcy. Sometimes we really think we have something to offer. Sometimes we, you know, "Hey, I can do this." Ladies, pride will shut down revival. Pride will shut down and destroy relationships. God hates pride. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud heart." Proverbs 28:26 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Well, that's strong. That's strong. In Proverbs 30:13, the Bible talks about those whose eyes are lofty or lifted up in arrogance. The Bible teaches that the fool exalts themselves, that pride brings disgrace. Only by pride comes contention. You say, "Well, I'm not proud." Ladies, do you understand the deceitfulness of your own heart? You know, I don't know about you, but honestly, God reveals my ugly pride every single day. You say, "How do I know if I'm proud?" Well, ladies, how much do you attempt to do in the arm of the flesh? If you want to know if you are really a proud person, how often, how much are you continually praying and saying, "Lord, I can't do this. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Father, enable me to minister to this person. Lord, who do you want me to talk to next? Father, I can't love my child. I can't love my husband. Lord, I can't teach this class. I can do..." Apart from we, what did Jesus say? You can do nothing. What does that mean? It means nothing. Zip. Zero. But how often do we have that independent spirit that says, "I can do this. I can fix this"? Ladies, a proud person is out of place. What do I mean by that? We must recognize how great is our God, but we must know our place. Yesterday when I got on the plane, can you imagine if I had walked on the plane, walked right up to the captain's seat, "Excuse me, I'm going to sit right down." What would they have said to me? "Lady, you're out of place. You don't belong here." Do I have a clue how to fly a plane? I love flying, but I haven't got a clue how to fly a plane. I mean, they would have probably called security and graciously or not so graciously escorted me out and said, we've got a loony bin here. She thinks she can fly this plane. And all of the people If they saw me walk up there, would have said, we'll take a different flight. Out of place. Out of place. I don't belong there. Ladies, Psalm 100 says this, "Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his sheep and the people of his pasture." We are the created beings. We are the vessels, the clay. He is the potter. Ladies, pride is the devil's signature. It's his trademark. The enemy said in Isaiah 14, "I will be like the Most High. I will ascend under the throne. I will. And one of the things that I learn every single day, as long as my words are, "I want, I will, my agenda," I am walking in pride. I have just shut down any type of revival. When the passion of my heart and your heart is not my will but thine, this is the picture of our precious Lord. And ladies, so often, you know, when I think about the fact that, Lord, my heart is so deceitful, I have no clue at times how much I've bought into the world's philosophy. Philippians 2, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." What is he saying there? Strife, contention. Do any of you ever have strife in your homes? Come on, be honest. Do any of you ever have those battles with family, with friends, with other people? And he's saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, seeking glory, looking for what is in it for me, what can I do? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Is that natural? Again, God gives those pictures all the time this week. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of warfare this week. And I have really battled this entire week. And in class, some of my students, just like human beings, were, quote, getting on my nerves. You understand that, right? We're human. And I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, you know I need to be patient, but right now I want to drop kick these kids. You know, right now I'm ready to just say, we're done. And I don't know how many times the Lord had to continually, you know, Holy Spirit, okay, close your mouth, Carol, close your mouth. And one student, she asked a question, and of course, these are lost kids. And I did not hear her correctly. And I jumped on her. And I said, you know, if you would just listen to all of this, and I mean right then, Spirit. And then guess what? That lovely little pride, you know. I tried to keep teaching. I had, at the end of class, I had to stop, and I says, you know what? I need to make this right. And I looked at her, and I says, I made a statement to you. I was wrong. I was walking in pride as the Lord has convicted me, and I want to ask your forgiveness. And I had to do it in front of the whole class. Because I had embarrassed her in front of the whole class, you know. And I mean, she just stared at me and looked at me and she says, no, you're fine, you're fine. I thought, no, it's not fine. What I did not reflect the character of Jesus Christ. It did not honor the Lord. And this whole week, the Lord has been showing me, because I said, Lord, can't you make this happen? My oldest daughter has had a really, really, really rough year. 2018, God has been raking her over real hardships. And, you know, God opened a precious door for her, and she's waiting on a background check because she spent years in Romania. It's held up. And she has really been struggling, and she's been on the phone with me, and, Mom, you know, and she's fretting, and I'm like, sweetie, we've got to wait. And I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, do this. And Lord, hear, Lord, forgive, hearken and do. And so far, still nothing. And she's struggling. And I finally realize, I says, Lord, I need to start praising you and thanking you for what you are going to do and that you are going to bring this through. You open this door. You're not going to just shut the door. And I started praying, Lord, you promised to be a father, a helper, a defender of the fatherless. For those of you who don't know, I'm a widow. I've been a widow 25 years. My husband ended his life after confessing to a mortal sin. And God has given me these three precious children and taught me what it means to be dependent as I have endeavored by his grace to raise them. My youngest just graduated from Liberty, so when you had said that, and I've watched God do amazing things. But as I was praying through that, and I realized, I said, you know what? This is warfare. Because I was very tempted, and I was driving, and I'm saying, Lord, why aren't you answering? Lord, what are you doing? And I started questioning the Lord, and I had to stop dead in my tracks. Because, ladies, there's no strength in unbelief. You know what? The Bible says without faith it is. And what's our goal? To please him. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I said, Father, you are God. You are her father. You are going to show yourself strong. And Lord, I'm going to choose to praise and to trust you. Those battles, but that pride in us wants to say, I can do it. I can fix this. You know what, ladies? You can't fix it. How many things in your life that you can't fix? Are there a lot? We think we can, but can we? No. And the scripture teaches that we have to be totally dependent. You know, one of the things I've learned is that your heart and mind naturally go astray. The scripture teaches that Satan is the god of this world, and ladies, he is a liar. Everything he says is a lie. The sad thing is we believe too much. We listen to the enemy. And we start to ponder and think about it. You can't do that. Because the enemy lies to you, this world system. Beware. Watch out. Lest anyone spoil. Take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit. It's vain. It's empty. It's lying. After what? The tradition of man. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, arguments, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ladies, a proud person doesn't realize how desperately they need the Lord. At this prayer advance, we want God to work. We want God to show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect, loyal, devoted to him. The problem is never the Lord. He is awesome. He is great. It's us. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, we had a wonderful prayer time before we came in here. Oh, how I have missed that. You know, when I get the privilege to come to these prayer advances, I love those sweet prayer times. Ladies, we have got to bring every thought captive to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is by recognizing, Lord, you are the high, the lofty one that inhabits eternity. Lift up your eyes on high. You know, where's your focus? What you dwell on will control you. What you focus on will turn your head and your heart. People say, well, I've got all of these problems. If we focus on them, they will control us. And I love, again, when you read the scriptures in Ephesians, in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, where the scripture says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace are tied up in the knowledge of God. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Where's the focus? Greatness of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as he has, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The character of God. He has brought us again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. Where's the focus? On the greatness of God. Ladies, how great is our God? When the scripture says, and I love Isaiah 40, I will often, when I'm struggling and filled with my own self and my agenda, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. I'm a science teacher. I love this. He brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and that he is strong in power. Not one fails. And again, I will tell my students, the Milky Way galaxy, over 100 billion stars, and it is one of billions of galaxies, and God calls them all by name. How awesome is our God? When I have young people and students this past year who've said to me, well, we evolved from apes and the cell just evolved. And I mean, I just sit there and I said, young people, I said, that's the epitome of foolishness. I said, to think that all of this cell, and I was talking them through how the cell works and how DNA is replicated and transcribed. And I said, this shouts creation. This shouts for who God is. And I says, you know, don't buy into this, the world system. You know, you can see I take more liberties at that school than I probably should. But you know what? I said, Lord, you're on your throne. You're in control. I cannot let these kids buy into these lies. You know, and as I go over to the dorm, and I had one young girl come over to me. She's from Russia. And she said to me, she says, Mrs. Trahan, I understand you teach creation. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, well, I have never heard that. It's always been evolution. So I sat there and talked to her. And then we had another young lady, and she sat with me, and I had to be pretty tough on her because of some things that, you know, her character. And I said, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And she said, well, she kept trying to make excuses. And I told her, I said, everything that I'm teaching you and all that I do, I have a reason, and that is because I live by his grace solely for his glory. God is the reason. He's the motivation for all that I do. And I said, I like to bring scripture into all of the teaching. And she says, well, how do you do that? And so I talked to her a little bit. She says, can you do that for me? Absolutely. You know, we had our first student saved. And, you know, that was a thrill. And then I'm over here and I've got two sitting here. And I said to Chad, and I said, so what happened to you? And he was bubbling and all excited. And this girl, well, I'm Catholic. So I got to witness to her and all this. You say, why are you doing that? Because we have an awesome God. We have an amazing God, and it's all about him. And that's why, ladies, it's so important. Understand, what does it mean to not walk in pride, to walk in humility? Let me ask you this. When you came in, do you have an agenda? Do you have a script that you've written for what the way you think things should go? And I want you to be honest with yourself, okay? Do you say, Lord, this is what I want you to do, and then I'll thank you and I'll praise you? You know, I think in Jeremiah, I don't remember the exact reference, when they came to Jeremiah, the leaders, and they said, we will do whatever you want us to do. And they said, you be a witness. And they prayed, and then Jeremiah said, I will do that. But they were hypocrites, because when Jeremiah came back and told them, their response was, no, we're not going to do that. That's hypocrisy. Ladies, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know how deceitful your heart is? We don't. God does. And we can easily be led away from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Ladies, I long for revival. And that's why I have to say, Lord, my heart is so deceitful apart from you. Expose it. And that's not a pleasant process. You go into a hospital and they have to do surgery and open you up. That's not pleasant. But ladies, again, we've mentioned cancer. I had cancer 3.5 years ago. And I understand, you know, Debbie and I, similar story. Mine was not at the stage that hers was. But you know what, ladies? They didn't just sit here. The doctors would say, well, cancer, you just need to go away now. You be good. What did they do? Cut. Surgery. You have to deal with sin and drastically deal with it. You cannot tolerate it. If your eye offends you, what? What's he saying here? Don't give sin an inch. It'll take 10 miles. You can't give it an inch. And so I have to say over and over again, Lord, show me, reveal to me what needs to change. And God continually brings us back to the truth of, again, Isaiah 57:15, high, lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Do we understand our God is holy, holy, holy? What does that mean? He hates sin. He hasn't changed his opinion about sin one bit. He is perfect, pure, sanctified, set apart, blazing, unapproachable light. God is absolutely holy. And ladies, apart from God's grace and what he has done, we are not. We are sinful creatures. All have sinned and fall short, come short of that glory of God. Ladies, again, you know, and the example's been used, doesn't matter if you can jump this far or that far, doesn't matter. You're still going to miss the mark. But he says this, I dwell with what? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. The word contrite there, ladies, means broken, bruised, shattered. I love these definitions of the word brokenness, which describe humility, I believe. One gentleman puts it this way, it is the shattering of your will so that every thought and every intent of your soul is controlled and responds by the Spirit of God. Nancy DeMoss Wilgamoth puts it this way, the shattering of your self-will, the stripping of your self-reliance, and the softening of the soil of your heart. And I'm going to pray when we come to the end of the session that the Lord would reveal to you all those areas where your self-will is on the throne. All those areas where you think you can do it, you're self-reliant. And I'm praying the same for me. All of those areas where the heart needs to be softened. Some of you may have gone through some really deep pain. I understand that. I don't know how many times when I was raising my kids and things would come up that my husband had done to my children and the anger would come up and I would say, stop. Let all bitterness and wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Choose to forgive. And I had to say, Lord, you have forgiven me so much. I will not allow bitterness to come in. I will not have this attitude of pride, and I will claim the victory that you provide through the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies, we have to have that heart that is soft, that is tender, that is open, that is sensitive. But there's risk involved because you say, I don't want to be exposed. Have you ever taken, and you've got a dusty surface and you open the blinds and the sun shines on it? What do you see? I thought I just dusted that. Has that ever happened? And you're looking, what is the light doing? Exposing. We don't like that. We don't like that. It hurts. And we especially don't like to be exposed before others. But can I say this, ladies? When we get to the place of where of I am and understand the importance of revival, then we're more concerned with what God knows us to be than what everybody else thinks. And we have to say, you know what? Lord, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm really struggling. And there have been times where I've had to say to ladies, I've had to say, will you pray for me? I'm really struggling. At this point, I don't want to go on. I'm ready to cash it in. I'm ready for God to take me home. Lord, I'm tired. You know, with my three children. Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Has anybody been there? Have anybody battled that? Say, Lord, I need you to bring people alongside to lift up my spirit and to help me because I'm struggling. This past year, teaching in this public school system and not having believers, it has been a lonely road, and many nights I have said, Lord, I'm really struggling. This is really hard. And you know, God in his faithfulness, and I'm in his word and I'm in prayer, I'll get a text from somebody praying for you. Love you and all this. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. You know, very special blessing. I don't want to embarrass them, but two ladies from my home church in Greenville, South Carolina are here. They don't even know how much they blessed me just being here, just being with you, just being able to pray. Why? Lord, we need each other. And Lord, we desperately need you. Contrite, humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the spirit of those broken, broken over their sin. Ladies, when's the last time, as the scripture says, blessed are they that do mourn, that you have actually wept and mourned that your sin grieved the heart of God? Not that you got caught. Lord, I broke your heart. I chose to do something that hurt you. I had a lady several months ago come to me. She had contacted me, and she was weeping. She says, I have grieved my Savior. I thought, this is repentance. This is the real thing. She was weeping and broken. She's willing to do whatever it took to get right. Are we there? Are we there? Philippians 2 again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind is that, ladies? This is the mindset of humility. This is the prerequisite for revival. This is saying no to self, no to self-reliance. What did our Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, do? Who being in the form of God, God, a very God, thought it not robbery, something to grasp after, be equal with God, but did what? Made himself of no reputation. This is God, King of kings, Lord of lords. They worship him. They adore him. I can't even imagine as he's walking down the portals of glory in my imagination. And they're, what are you doing? Emptied himself, not of his deity, but of his prerogatives, and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What do I mean by humility? What is the scripture saying? This is the individual who, in absolute abandonment, says, Lord, I surrender. All my plans, all my purposes, all my expectations, my will, my life, my all to you. You work out your will in my life. You bring revival so that lives can be touched for your honor and glory at any cost. Can I say this, ladies? That is the blessed life. If someone were to ask me, has it been hard? It has. Have I cried many tears? I have. Do I still hurt? I'll hurt till the day God takes me home. But I wouldn't trade any of this. And I love my Savior. I love him so much because he rescued my soul. And ladies, if you are a child of God and a blood-bought child of God, you should be one of the most thankful people because we have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. You know, and again, and I love 1 Peter, which according, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and it's abundant, has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Do we deserve this? Incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the individual who recognizes the greatness of God now also sees how desperately they need him. I want you to turn to Jude. We're going to look at the first two verses as we finish up here. And I love this. I love scripture. I hope you do too. You know, I tell my students when I taught at Northland Bible College, I said, learn God's word, love God's word, live God's word. God dwells with the high and he dwells in the high and holy place with him that is a contrite and humble spirit. In Jude 1, it says, Jude, this is the walk of humility, the servant, the bond servant, the love slave of Jesus Christ. Is that how you see yourself? Ladies, do you understand? You have to think rightly about yourself. You are a bond servant. The word literally, doulos, is slave. People say, I'm no slave. I said, well, yes, you are. You're either a slave to sin and Satan, or you're a free slave. You see, what do you mean, free slave? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ has set me free. I am his willing bond servant. Pierce that ear through. As it says in the Old Testament, Lord, I love you. I am your willing slave because it is a delight to be owned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose way is perfect and who does all things well. That, again, he says, do you understand who you are? A bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James to them that are what? Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Do we realize what we're saying here? Ladies, the scripture is saying, understand, you are sanctified, preserved, and called. And I wrote down here, recognize how I am seen by the Lord. I am called, selected, appointed, chosen. Can I say this? This is mysterious. But you know what? It's in God's hands. I'm never going to figure it out. I don't even try. This is marvelous. I stand in awe, and it's motivating. The love of Christ compels me. You are called by the Holy One if you are his child. You are called, chosen, blessed by the God who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And he goes on to say, you are sanctified, set apart for his glory, his purpose, and to reflect his character. And you are preserved, kept. Ladies, let me say this. The garrison around your soul is God himself. Who can defeat that? When you have the God of glory, you know, I mean, be strong and very courageous. What is there to fear? I have the God of glory as my Savior and the garrison around my soul. And so, ladies, with that in mind, called, preserved, sanctified, Lord, I choose, 1 Peter 5, to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. That's understanding your place. God is going to, he's going to bring you low. He's going to have to show you, ladies, you can't do it. It's not in you. He's going to humble you. Don't resist. That's really futile, isn't it, to try and resist? Think about that. You know, really, does it make any sense to try and resist the King of Glory? I mean, that's the epitome of foolishness. He is going to humble you, much like Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar walks through, hey, is this not Babylon? I've done all this by my might, and immediately it's taken from you. And I mean, Nebuchadnezzar went through and basically like an animal, ate And his fingernails grew like claws. And at the end of that, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? He says, now I praise and extol the God of heaven. And those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. And so, ladies, again, understand, I must humble myself. The scripture says God opposes the proud. What does that mean? Just that? When I'm proud, everything I do is what? God's going to oppose me. He's going to oppose you. But when you are humble, when you say, Lord, you're right. I can't do this. I am trying. I have my own agenda. I have my own plans. And God humbles you and you agree with God. You are clothed in humility. God's grace flows through you. So ladies, humble yourself and accept the thorns. We don't like thorns. Accept the thorns. What does he say, Paul? He says, that thorn in the flesh. And this wasn't just a mild thing. He said, a messenger of Satan to beat him up all the time. And he asked God to take it away. Perfectly normal. Do that. But God said, no. No. And Paul said what? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in distresses, in persecutions for Christ's sake. Ladies, if you ask me five things I take pleasure in, those wouldn't be on the list. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When a few years after I became a widow and I was struggling with my kids and in anguish, and I don't know how many times I said, Lord, please, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Wrong thinking, by the way. Genesis 15:1, God says, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. And I remember agonizing over it, and the Lord, through his word, spoke to my heart very clearly, stop resisting and recognize that I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Revel in this. And I had a very godly woman. I didn't like what she said. I've shared this before, but she spoke truth. She said, Carol, God has chosen that he will receive the greatest glory by your not having a husband and your children not having a human father. And I didn't like it. But the Spirit of God said, she speaks truth. This is my call. And so now, 25 years later, I can say I love being his widow. And I love that my children have a father of the fatherless who is mighty and shows himself strong every single day. And I used to tell them when they were young, I said, you know, God help the person who messes with you kids. Because he says that he has a special care and protection for the fatherless. And, you know, that his anger will wax hot. He says, if somebody messes with you, they're in trouble. And I mean, my kids, sometimes they're like, you mess with me and God's going to get you. So, and I meant, that wasn't my intent. But nevertheless, the idea there is that realization, Lord, you are awesome. I want to finish with Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. My hands aren't turning the pages here. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect, there we go, chosen, holy, set apart, beloved, called. What? Bowels. That's the affection of mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is the heart God revives. Broken over their sin, recognize your utter bankruptcy. I can't, Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing. Realize your utter dependence upon the Lord. Desperate dependence. Tear up the script. Die to your agenda. Abandoned wholly to God. Submissive, surrendered, and obedient. And God revives and shows himself strong. And this is the heart God rescues from sin. God rescues from addictions. God rescues from those things, from marriages that are not doing well. God is not limited. I don't know what your problem is. I don't need to know what your problem is. God is infinitely bigger. Okay? We think my problem is like this. God is exceedingly infinitely bigger than your struggle and your problem, and it's all about his glory. But ladies, we have to be honest. That's where we have to begin this prayer advance. We have to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. I need help. Lord, I am trying to take some credit. I am trying to be something that I am not. Lord, I am vainglory, trying to take and do things that are not honoring to you. Father, you know things that are not right, and I've not wanted to give them up, but Lord, I surrender. Expose me, reveal, but you must obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If any man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So as we go to prayer, ladies, I'm going to ask you as we bow to say, Lord, expose. Spirit of God, search my heart. Reveal anything and everything that offends you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I come trembling and frightened at times. But Lord, you are the lover of my soul. Father, you are the God who has absolutely no limitations. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Ah, Lord God, behold, the heavens are yours. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Father, I pray in every heart that there would be a deep brokenness, a contriteness, a recognition that we desperately need you. And Lord, I'm including myself, because I know how proud I can be and how much I need you. Father, I would not even hope to stand and speak to these ladies. I am not worthy of the least of the mercies or of the truth. This is all of you. And I pray that these women would see only Christ high and lifted up and would realize you are an awesome, good, faithful, gracious, delightful God who loves and delights to rescue people. You are a Savior. You came to seek and to save the lost. And Father, there may be people here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, do not know you, sweet Lord. And my prayer is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, if there are those who are not your child, I pray that you would turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. I pray specifically that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. And Father, I pray that you would command that light to shine out of darkness. In every heart, begin the work of revival. And Lord, may we be broken, humble, obedient, and Father, inflame our souls with a deep love for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We owe you everything, and we're so grateful. that you care, that you love us, that you're doing a work even now. And we come to you and we surrender fully in Jesus' precious name.